Today's reading is going to be from Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not just lied to just a human being, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The word of the Lord.
Lord, we thank you this morning that you are God. We thank you for who you are and all that you've done. And Lord, we need you here this morning. We pray that your presence would be felt. As my brother John told me when I walked in this morning, Satan has already been working. And we know that he continues to work, but I thank you, Lord, that we know that all power is in your hand, and you're far more powerful than Satan is. And so we're asking you, Lord, to bind him this morning, and that you would work in and through us. Use us, Lord, as you see fit. Help us to do what you want us to do. Lord, open up our hearts that we might hear what you have to say. Speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Because you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Would you agree with me this morning if I said there appears to be quite a shortage of integrity in America today? What if I asked you to make a list of all the people that you know that show true integrity? I wonder how many sheets of paper you would need. How about the people in your life? Do they question your integrity? If that question makes you stop to think this morning, then maybe you can help me by saying, or even thinking, amen, as we walk through this sermon today. Since we started in the book of Acts a few weeks ago, we've been talking about and studying about the establishment of the new church. Over the past few weeks, the early church has been seeing astronomical growth. Thousands of people come into the faith, and with that, of course, come real problems. The apostles are no longer fishing. They're no longer farming and collecting taxes. And they're working full time to administer and teach this growing group of people. And so there is now a need for providing for these leaders monetarily so that they can provide for the needs of their family. There are also needs within the community. There were the widows, the orphans, and others that had needs to be met. And the church responded. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how all the believers were of one heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was not their own. And so they shared everything that they had. In fact, John told us a couple of weeks ago about the faith that had taken over from fear, and that Peter was preaching boldly to the people. Then last week, Pastor Tom told us how there was no poverty among them because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to the others that were in need. Now, we're not told to what extent the apostles preached about giving, but we do know that the people were generous and the needs of the community were met. In fact, in Acts 4:32, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared with everyone that had need. We studied specifically last week about a believer called Barnabas who sold his property and brought the money to it and put it at the apostles' feet so that it could be shared with those in need. Now, all of this was great, but unfortunately, the story does not end there. There's a couple in our scripture today whose names were Ananias and Sapphira, and they were obviously impressed by what Barnabas had done, so they attempted to replicate his actions. They sold some property they had and brought a portion of the money to the apostles for the church. While we are not told how much they sold their property for, we are told that they brought only a portion of the proceeds. No doubt, as this couple looked at the money, at all the money they were bringing to the church, they were thinking to themselves, what wonderful people we are. After all, they had gotten a lot of money for their property, and surely the church didn't need all of that money. Acts 5:2 says, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. We have to ask the question, why is this couple plotting and planning? Nowhere in these verses have we read that Christians were required to give their possessions to the church, nor even that a set percentage of the proceeds should be given. But God's grace was so at work in this community that the people realized that nothing they had was theirs, so they willingly shared what was already God's. So what went wrong as we see the revival that is unfolding in these recent chapters in the book of Acts? Apparently, Satan is still at work, just as he was in the Garden of Eden. Just as he has spoiled the perfection there, he attempted to disrupt this community of the early church through the actions of Ananias and Sapphira. As people, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to be people of integrity. We must be people of high moral and professional standards. While these characteristics won't save us, they will enhance our witness, while a lack of them is why people will call us hypocrites. We're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and he calls us to a higher standard. So over the next few moments, we will look at four phases the early church went through as Satan attempted to use hypocrites to infiltrate the body. In the first stage, Ananias and Sapphira developed a plan to deceive others about their devotion to God. Let's look again at verses 1 and 2. Now a man called Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. As we discussed last week, the community of the early church was a devoted group. Indeed, they were devoted to their new life in Christ. They were devoted to worship and to one another. We saw last week where from time to time, those who had land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds to the apostles so that they could distribute them to others and anyone as they had need. These people were experiencing something remarkable, and Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be a part of it. However, they could not resist the temptations of Satan. According to verse 2, their sin was deliberate, premeditated, and planned. Once again, Satan is trying to use good people to do a bad thing. No doubt this couple was well known and well respected in the community. They had witnessed the power and the blessings of God. They were not outsiders or enemies trying to destroy the church. They were insiders working from within. Lest we be quick to judge them, we must look carefully at our own lives. If we are not careful, Satan will indeed try to work in us. How often have we seen good people fall because they refuse to deal with their own potential to do evil? Yes, it could happen to you, and it could happen to me, all because we allow our goodness to become a dangerous thing. We saw last week where Barnabas sold a field he owned and gave the proceeds to help the needy and to expand the gospel. Perhaps this couple saw the recognition that Barnabas was getting and desired the same kind of acclaim. Ananias and Sapphira thought, I would like to have people praising me like that. Look at all the attention that Brother Barnabas is getting. So they decided to sell some of their land and do the same. But a terrible thing happened along the way. Satan tempted them to withhold some of the money while pretending to give it all. He convinced them to pretend to be what they were not. Look at us, they said. We are so spiritual. Praise us for our service. Can this happen to you and me? You bet it can. Each one of us must ask ourselves, do I try to impress others with my spirituality? Am I being used by the powers of darkness to hide Jesus Christ? We must remember that Christ hates hypocrisy. In verses 3 and 4 of our scripture, we see where God granted Peter special power to recognize the true state of things. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Great things were happening in the church, and Satan was doing his utmost to upset the state of affairs. It took great courage for Peter to speak against this type of disobedience. We ask, how did Peter get this courage? Again, a couple of weeks ago, we saw in Acts 4, 29 and 31, where the believers prayed to be able to withstand the schemes of Satan. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The believers prayed, and God answered. Sometimes we too may need to be courageous and speak words of truth. This can be very challenging, folks, in this day of political correctness. But truth must always stand, even as it did for Peter. You must ask yourself, am I courageous for the Lord, or am I all show? Do I love the praise of man to the extent that I will lie to God just to present myself as one of great spirituality? Before you leave here today, you ought to commit to God and say to him, Lord, I'm in your corner. In verses 5 and 6, we see the penalty for the sin of Ananias. Peter had just told him in verse 4 that he had not just lied to human beings, but he had lied to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard him, all who heard what had happened. Then some men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. But wait, aren't we talking about Jesus here? Isn't this the man who was often patient and gentle with sinners? Many times he ate with them and forgave them. But let us remember that he also called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, clean on the inside, but filthy, clean on the outside, but filthy on the inside. It is obvious that Jesus hates the sin of hypocrisy. Why? Because it leads people away from God. Hypocrisy says, look at me, not at God. If this sin goes unchecked, the church would end up looking just like the Pharisees, clean on the outside, but filthy on the inside. The first characteristic of hypocrisy is lying to God, and God hates lying. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips. God admonishes lying because of the negative impact it has on us as Christians. Lying causes our souls to deteriorate. It's addictive and usually gives birth to more lies. Lying destroys self-esteem and relationships. The early church was a group of devoted people committed to their life, new life in Christ. They were dedicated to worship and to each other. Satan was attempting to use lies within the body to hinder all of this. No doubt Ananias expected to walk out of the service that day and have lunch with Sapphira at the local diner and discuss how well their plan had come together. However, sins of the heart cannot be hidden from God. Folks, we must understand that you cannot lie to God. You cannot lie to him about your giving. You cannot lie to him about your behavior. And you cannot lie to him about your motivation. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you fail to give your word, to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord. And you may be sure that your sin will find you out. God knows the secrets of every heart. God knows the truth, and he deals firmly with the sin of hypocrisy. In verses 7 to 10, we see that the co-conspirator paid the same price as her husband, not knowing what had happened with Ananias. Sapphira came in and told Peter that the price Ananias had paid, had given him, was the correct price for the property that they sold. Then beginning in verse 9, Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Those of you that are old enough will remember Flip Wilson saying, the devil made me do it. There are others that will say, my spouse made me do it. Or it was my friends that caused me to do it. Well, just like the devil can't make us do anything, nor can our spouse or friends. It is imperative that we learn to deal with our own potential to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Thank you. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. It is only after we have learned to confront our own weaknesses that we begin to grow closer to God, to the God that saved us. As we look back over the past few weeks, in the book of Acts, we can see that the church was going extremely well. People were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. About 3,000 people became believers when Peter preached the good news about Jesus Christ. The apostles performed many signs and wonders, and the people devoted themselves to their teaching. Peter and John continued to preach in the name of Jesus Christ in spite of persecution by the rulers and elders. And finally, all the believers were of one heart and one mind, shared with others in such a way that it attracted those all around them. Satan's attempts to thwart the advancement of the gospel by attacking externally had failed dismally. His approach had proven ineffective, so he decided to try a different strategy. He attacked from within. Folks, it is such a tragedy when God's own people allow Satan to use them to spoil God's work. As we can see from the example of Ananias and Sapphira, unless we're careful to deal with our own potential for evil, it can make even our goodness potentially dangerous. Why, we may ask, was the penalty so harsh? After all, even though they were doing it for the wrong reason, their donations was a good thing. You see, folks, we need to make this clear. The sin they committed was not stinginess or holding back part of the money. After all, it was their choice whether or not to sell the land and how much to give. Thus, their sin was lying to God and to God's people. Their problem was holding back some of the money for themselves and then saying they gave the whole amount. Their sin was trying to make themselves appear more generous than they really were. They were looking for the praise of others, and in doing so, they tried not only to deceive the church, but God himself. This, my friend, is the very definition of a hypocrite. When we first moved into the house where we currently live, there were a few of these plants that you see on the screen around the edge of the front yard flower bed. We thought they looked pretty nice, so we just let them grow from year to year. It didn't take us very long, to realize that left to themselves, these plants would eventually take over the whole flower bed. Similarly, when a little sin infiltrates the body, it can cause major problems within the church. Thus, God's harsh judgment of Ananias and Sapphira, since what they were doing could eventually impact the whole community. As we mentioned earlier, hypocrisy is a sin that, if left unchecked, it will sooner or later impact the entire body. The question that we must ask is, can this happen to our church? Do we try to impress people with our spirituality? Most seriously, are we being used by the powers of darkness to point others away from Christ? I just want to remind you once more, folks, God hates hypocrisy. In verse 11, we see a great promise, because the fear of God fell upon the whole church. Great fear seized the whole church, verse 11 says, and all who heard about these events. I want you to know, folks, this is a great place to be. People inside and outside of the church were gripped with fear. A great sense of wonder and admiration fell upon everyone. Indeed, the presence and the power of God surrounded them. Proverbs 23:17 says, don't let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. The early church began with fear and reverence of God. God promises a hope and a wonderful future to those that love and fear him. My friends, the church we've been talking about these past few weeks was in the midst of a great revival. I pray that our church would experience the same revival right now. But I must warn you, when God's church is experiencing a revival, that is when Satan is at his worst. That is when he will double his efforts to attack from both the inside and the outside. He will attempt to persecute God's people in every way possible. We should learn from the early church to keep our focus on what is most important, that is, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is imperative that we continuously pray, remain unified, and always love God and his word. Like these Christians, we must remember that nothing we have is our own, and everything we own comes from God. When we give and share our possessions, we are only sharing what is already his. Ananias and Sapphira appeared to have many of these qualities, but then they lied. Perhaps they thought that they could behave in God's new community the way that people had done for years in the synagogue. You may recall Jesus coming into the place and finding money changing and the exploitation of God's people. Perhaps Ananias and Sapphira were used to that standard. But no, everything was changed now. This was a new community. Through Jesus Christ, God had bought himself a people who were living to please him, and he would not tolerate it being tampered with. Now, all lying is bad, of course. But when we lie to deceive God and his people, we destroy our testimony about Christ. The world looks at us and immediately decides that they do not want to be a part of that. That is why we ought to live, so that when our family, friends, and those around us hear the words integrity, loyalty, and truthfulness, they immediately think of us. Folks, may the question never be asked of us: how is it that Satan has filled your heart? Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit and allowed the world to witness your pretense? May it never be said to me, Bob, why have you stopped the gospel light from shining? May we all come to and obey the one who loves us dearly, the very one that died and rose again, so that we might live a debt-free life. I pray that each of us would put our trust in Jesus Christ and honor God each and every day. While the penalty may not be as drastic as it was for Ananias and Sapphira, you can be sure that your sin will cost you far more than it will profit you. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you will work in our lives, that we would be honest with you and honest with each other, and may we always present a true light of who you are. Lord, may we represent you. Help us to be more like Christ each and every day. Lord, I thank you for who you are and all that you do. Thank you for working this morning. Thank you for speaking this morning. Thank you for being here, Lord. Thank you for protecting us from Satan. I pray that you just continue to do so. Go with us, Lord, wherever we go and whatever we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.